You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Vicki Oliver, a leading career development expert and the multi-best-selling author of five books, including her latest, Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots. You gotta love it. Been around those before. And Vicki, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're most welcome. Looking forward to hearing from you in all regards, especially on this book. So tell us, Vicki, what are the keys for how companies should better engage workers in the big picture of each task or project?
In my opinion, I feel like it's a privilege to lead. First off, leaders should not assume that they're just going to be able to lead just because they're making the big bucks and have people reporting to them. So one way to engage your workers is to share your vision. Most people working just don't want a job. They want career fulfillment. It's your role to let them see how their work really helps your company achieve its mission.
Also, if you would, tell us what principles of common business decorum most apply to people in leadership roles.
Right. So if you are a leader, chances are you feel like you have a door, you have a big office, you can close the door. But that type of behavior makes the people who are working for you feel often alienated. And a better strategy is to not identify as a lone wolf. Make sure your door is open, metaphorically and in reality, so that workers feel like they can come in and discuss with you issues and problems they have, that they can give you feedback. Feedback is a 360-degree thing. It's not just one way.
Well stated there. Now, here's a topic that makes most people cringe. Tell us how micromanaging leads to costly employee disengagement.
Right. So, for example, a lot of us have watched the movie The Devil Wears Prada. Now, maybe you are working for somebody just like that boss was, and that person is looking over your shoulder all the time, wanting to see what's on your to-do list, checking in with you all the time. Well, if you have a shred of independence, that kind of behavior from your boss is going to drive you crazy. So if you are the type of person who likes to micromanage your employees, back off. Give them enough leash to hang themselves if necessary, but back off. The problem with micromanaging, first off, you're doing their job, not just yours. Second, you're showing that you don't trust your employees to do their jobs. So they're going to disengage from you. It's so much better to give them a lot of independence, and then if they need you, come in and help.
Good stuff there. And what are the short and long-term benefits of letting people fail?
Right. So I have an expression. It's give your staff the freedom to fail. And if you are a good boss, you know that an occasional failure is the inevitable outcome of trying. You want the people who are working for you to try, to stretch, to go beyond what you tell them to do. You know, there's an expression that says, no risk, no reward. You want to encourage your employees to speak up when they make a mistake and also reassure them when they make a mistake. Ask them what they learned from it, how they're going to do it differently next time. And one way to get that flavor into your organization is to admit your own mistakes. Show the people who work for you how you made a mistake, then you turned around and you corrected your mistake, and then they will feel more free to experiment. It's not that you want them to fail. You want them to succeed but you also want them to stretch their wings, try new things. You know, the old cliche, think outside the box, right? You're not going to have people who do that unless you give them permission to occasionally flop.
And certainly makes sense as well. Today, we're joined by Vicki Oliver, a leading career development expert and the multi-bestselling author of 5 books, including her latest, Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots, here on Enterprise Radio, working in association with our author channel, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. So, Vicki, what have you found to be the things that keep employees interested and concerned in their jobs, and are these things commonplace in today's work world or coveted by a few select companies?
I feel what makes people feel engaged in their work is if you set up a statement, a mission, a vision for them, you show them how they can be part of that vision, how what they're doing contributes to their vision, to the company vision, and then when they do so, you thank them, you reward them, you give them a promotion, you give them more responsibility so that they also feel like they're growing. As the company grows, they are going to grow. So they feel invested in the organization. And good leaders impart that. I mean, even if there's bad news with the company, profits are down, what have you, like you didn't get the client. Even when there's bad news, a good leader engages the people who work for him or her and tell them what's going on. You know, a certain amount of transparency and communication, both of the goals and what your expectations are for that person in particular and their particular growth, really helps to engage your workers. Now, a lot of companies don't do that. That's not part of their vision necessarily. But I think that the good companies, the ones who are growing exponentially, I think they do actually do that. I think they do make workers feel – nobody wants to feel like a cog in a wheel. They want to feel like they're active contributors.
Yeah, you bet they do. And, okay, this is something I personally can't stand. If people tell me they're going to do something – or if they're telling me they're going to be on time, I expect them to follow through no matter what it is. So what are the expected business outcomes when leaders flounder on their position and not make good on their promises?
I think when a leader fails and falls short on the promises, it creates an atmosphere of distrust and disloyalty. And today, that is a real problem. This is no longer a buyer's market, you know. There are a lot of jobs. There are whole fields where they need more and more people, actually. So it's most important today to set realistic expectations, like don't promise the moon, you know. Set realistic expectations. Do your best to meet them. If you fail yourself as a leader to meet them, own up to it. Say what you learned. Say, this is one of the things we have here. We give people the freedom to fail. I just failed. This is how. And try to make it better next time. Workers want to feel like they're continually learning and improving. I mean, another thing that one can do to create that atmosphere is allow the people who work for you to learn. Give them new tasks. Maybe pay for some extra education so that they can do their jobs better, to the best of their ability.
Also, Vicki, empathy seems to be rather a hot topic for people interested in workplace culture. Tell us why empathy should be considered a strength and not a weakness.
Right. So for years, empathy was one of those qualities that was considered feminine, like the ability to listen was sort of a female quality. You know, sometimes they're called soft skills. And these types of words, like genderizing something like empathy and calling something soft as opposed to a hard skill, right? Like accounting is a hard skill, but listening was a soft skill, right? These types of words diminish the fact that empathy is a huge leadership tool. It shows strength, not a weakness. The ability to listen to people and understand where they're coming from helps build morale in certain companies. It really does. Let's say one of your workers needs to take time off. Maybe her parents are ill, right? I mean, you could be a jerk about that and say, no, you know, by your contract, you only get 2 weeks vacation. It's going to count against your vacation. Or you can show empathy to that person. And then when you do, and you say, you know what, take the time you need, tend to the things you have to attend to. We understand. Somebody will fill in for you. When you show that kind of empathy, that builds loyalty, that builds trust, and that person wants to work for you forever. So it's a huge, I think, often underrated skill that men and women both need to learn how to be more empathetic.
Lastly, Vicki, you talk about how leaders need to develop a reputation for reasonableness. What does that actually mean?
So in the old days, like if you go back to the 1950s, let's say IBM in the 1950s, there was sort of a top-down management style, and that management style was probably exported to most companies in the U.S. at that time, and that would just be, well, the boss is the boss, and what I say as the boss goes, okay? That is not being reasonable. It just isn't. So reasonableness is looking for compromises when you are confronted with strong opposing opinions. You know, you want your people working for you to be strong and to be opinionated. Therefore, they are not always going to agree with each other. But you need to be like Solomon and find a good compromise to make them work together. You know, let's say an employee comes up to you with a crazy idea, you know. Don't be the person that just says, no, that's never going to work. That's too dumb. Won't work. You know, again, try to listen to them. Try to take it under advisement. You know, you can always say, I'm not sure if that's going to work, but I'm willing to learn more about it. You know, send me some more information about it, and I will take another look at it. You don't have to make a snap judgment right on the spot. I mean, the same thing goes for doing a new idea. You don't really want to be the person that just makes a lot of snap judgments. You don't want to be that person because sometimes snap judgments don't work as strategies. You know, you don't want to disapprove of all new ideas because otherwise, if you do that, you aren't going to get any new ideas. You want to create that atmosphere of we are all continually learning. We are getting better.
Well, Vicki, it certainly has been more than a pleasure to have had you. A lot of rich information shared here, and I'm sure the listeners have gotten a lot out of what you've shared here through your expertise here today. Where can listeners get all the details, not only on your book, Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots, how they could get more information on you as well as how they could be in touch as well?
Okay. Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots is available on Amazon and in other bookstores and places where books are sold. To learn more about me, my website is Vicki, V-I-C-K-Y, Oliver.com. And you can write to me at Vicki@VickiOliver.com if you have a particular question that you want me to answer. I'd be happy to do that.
Good enough. Well, Vicki, it's been our pleasure once again to have had you. All the success. And thanks so much for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Vicki Oliver, a leading career development expert and the multi-best-selling author of 5 books, including her latest, Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots. And for all the details, simply visit VickiOliver.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our new live location as we are now streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live with a new app coming soon to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we do thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.